Yeah, it was kind of a hard open, wasn't it? I double dog dare you to guess that one. It's John Gibson with the Morning Digestion. Okay, so yeah, that would be a good one if you can guess it and email me at host@johngibson.com. It's the Morning Digestion for August 27th. And Trump just returned from the G7, where he caused a lot of trouble. Had a 68-minute news conference, you can just imagine. Washington Post says his news conference leaves reporters certain he lies about everything, essentially. New York Times front page, trade war has farmers fuming. New York Times at G7, he's all over the map. Says one thing about President Xi Friday, says something else about him yesterday. Ordering companies out of China last week. All of a sudden, he's saying nothing to stay. New York Times, he changes his tone in China and Iran again. Politico, Trump mocks Obama, says he was outsmarted by Putin. And that's why Putin got kicked out of the G8. Politico, he pushes the next G7 at Doral, his country club in Miami. He says, you get your own villa. Politico, maybe I will meet with Iran. And the Wall Street Journal stocks seesaw back and forth as this Trump stuff goes on, back and forth. Politics, New York Times, how Medicare for All went from fringe in the Democratic Party to the Democratic mainstream. It's kind of interesting. New poll shows three-way tie with Warren, Sanders, and Biden. This is a Monmouth poll. It's immediately being trashed. I mean, totally trashed. Because it was 800 respondents. The margin of error is plus or minus 5.5. Which means if they all got 20, the low ball is, 14.5. And the high is 25.5. So if you can figure anything out from that poll, good luck. New York Post, de Blasio CNN town hall scores a new record low. San Francisco Gate. The DNC held its summer meeting in San Francisco, and afterwards, Bernie Sanders and his staff went out to dinner. And they showed up at John's Grill. John's Grill is on Ellis Street. And it's famous for being, where Sam Spade had a martini and a steak in the Maltese Falcon. It was one of his hangouts. And it's something of a San Francisco hangout, but famous for the Maltese Falcon. Well, Bernie was cranky and rude to the staff. He didn't want to take pictures. And the PR guy for John's Grill said, if politicians are hungry, they should order room service. Because Lizzie Warren went to some other restaurant in San Francisco and, went back to the kitchen and had her picture taken with everybody and blah, 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 blah. By the way, I didn't include it on the list, but Lizzie Warren drew a crowd of 15,000 in Seattle. That's pretty good numbers. The Swamp, the trial of Greg Craig. Now, you remember Greg Craig was Obama's first White House lawyer and was he was the guy when almost the first thing Obama said after, on his first day of work at the White House was, we're going to close Gitmo. He turned around to Greg and said, we can close it today, can't we? And Craig said, yeah, we're working on it. Well, it turns out Greg Craig, he's on trial for God knows what. But his trial is revealing that there's all these people in Washington making millions of dollars representing crooks and dictators and shady characters overseas. And Greg Craig, who's a Democrat, was involved with Paul Manafort as a Republican. Doug Schoen's name came up. Shocked me. So if you, you know, if you can read the New York Times pieces, this is a good one. It just shows how swampy the place is. And, you know, and Greg Craig is a partner at Skadden Arps, and that's a really big name law firm. They must be dying that their name is being dragged through this crap. Washington Post, the DOJ is nearing a decision on whether to charge Andy McCabe. His defense is, well, he wasn't lying. He was just confused. The New York Times reported, then the Washington Post reported that Andy McCabe's defense lawyers held a big meeting with the Department of Justice bigwigs trying to head off an indictment. And, you know, so we're right on the bubble. McCabe could be charged. And if he is charged, then does he still go on CNN every day? Social justice warriors, New York City desegregation plan, close all the advanced programs, make everybody dumb. So they have these gifted programs in New York City. And Bill de Blasio doesn't like them because there's a lot of Asian white students in these classes, not blacks and Hispanics. You know, I mean, I guess you got to wonder why that is. According to de Blasio, it's and his school's chief, Carranza, it's because of racism. It may be because the white kids and the Asian kids work harder. Who knows? I mean, I'd hate to suggest something like that. Washington Post. This is a tech story. The first Amazon employees in Arlington, Virginia, Crystal City, Virginia, which is that stuff just across the river from D.C., and, you know, it's really where most of D.C. workers live. And, you know, it goes Arlington, Crystal City, then Alexandria as you go south. The first Amazon employees have yet to arrive, but Northern Virginia real estate is booming. All of a sudden, things that were on the market for 90 days are gone in a day or two. And people are paying over asking just to get it. And so the reason is that, well, of course, speculators. There are people who are buying stuff just to, you know, get it so they can resell it to Amazon workers when they finally show up. And the other reason is that there are people who have been renting in D.C. for a long time, you know, figuring, maybe I'll buy in 2021, saving their money, blah, 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 and realize, oh, my God, 25,000 new residents are going to show up. Real estate's going to go through the roof. I better buy now. So there. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. This is just, I just think this is embarrassing that the New York Times did this. Now Taylor Swift is releasing curated diary entries, and journalists at the New York Times are slobbering over these things. And I mean, you can see, you know, you see her handwritten diary entries, you know, going back to when she was a teenager. And, you know, she's got this little loopy teenage scrawl, and she's writing about she was really, you know, she was a bitch today to her mother, and she did this and she did that. And it's like, what? You know, what? I mean, I don't begrudge her releasing this. Maybe her fans want to read it. But what's the New York Times doing? Having a couple of people go over this and like it's, you know, the, like it's some ancient text that's really important. A Washington Post, Brett Stevens, I didn't tell you about this yesterday. Brett Stevens is a columnist for the New York Times. I used to work for the Wall Street Journal. I was a conservative of the Wall Street Journal. When Trump came around, all of a sudden he became less conservative. Or definitely less Trumpy. And he went over to the New York Times. So some professor writing a tweet, and a professor's got, you know, 20 followers or something, didn't like something Bret Stephens wrote and called him a bedbug. Bret Stephens got all huffy about it. He sent the guy a letter, plus copied the guy's boss, trying to get him in trouble. So the guy, you know, put the letter online. And it just shows Bret Stephens to be, you know, well, let's say he considers his reputation very precious. And he was really upset about being called a bedbug and called the guy out and said, "Why don't you come to my house and tell me that in front of my wife and kids? I promise I'll treat you cordially." And then he sends a note to the guy's boss. So now Bret Stephens, he had to deactivate his Twitter account, and he's just getting mocked all over the place, which he richly deserves. But funny thing, the New York Times, this is in the New York Post, of course, the New York Times sent out a memo saying, "Yeah, we do have bedbugs here in the building." They closed off an employee lounge or something, a wellness room, I think it was called, you know, a couch where you could like sit and decompress. There were bedbugs in there. They locked it off, and they're trying to figure out if there's bedbugs anywhere. Wall Street Journal, and really everywhere else, Andrew Luck retires at age 29 from his job as a quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And, you know, at first he got a bunch of crap from, you know, former quarterback Steve Berline, from some guy named Doug Gottlieb, who's, you know, I guess on Fox Sports 1. And boy, the backlash has just been, for anybody who criticizes him, the backlash has just been something to witness. So, you know, he's getting a lot of compliments from his colleagues, other players, saying, "Hey, you know, the guy has been injured so much. He doesn't want to take a chance on really bad, serious injuries." Well, he's had a few really bad, serious injuries, and he doesn't want to like give his whole life to football, so he's done. And a lot of guys in the NFL go, "Wow, that's pretty smart." The LA Times, this jumped out at me. If you're not from LA and you were to go to LA, somebody might tell you, you should go see the La Brea Tar Pits. It's right next to the LA County Museum of Art. And the La Brea Tar Pits are really something to see. I mean, it's oil bubbling up from underneath Los Angeles, essentially. And it's a place where giant mastodons got, you know, wandered into the tar pits, couldn't get out, so their bones are in there. And there's a plastic mastodon in the tar pits trying to get out, and there's plastic mastodon kids and family on the shore going, "Come on, get out." Anyway, it's a little, you know, but the La Brea tar pits are really something to see. And so there's a big story in the LA Times about three design groups proposing various kinds of revamps for the La Brea tar pits. And you know, I just wonder, wait a minute, how do you do that? I mean, I guess, you know, they put some seating around it or concrete walkways or something, but the tar pits are the tar pits. Can't imagine you do much to change the tar pits. Okay, so it's, you probably recognize that this was a short news day. It's true. I just think that people in news business aren't coming back to work till after Labor Day. And by the way, speaking of which, we had a giant storm hit here at 5 o'clock in the morning. The dogs were crazed, waking me up, lightning, thunder, big rain. Kind of signals the end of summer. This yesterday is the traditional high point for summer temperatures in this area. And from here on out, they kind of go down. There'll be little spikes every once in a while. But yeah, we're starting fall. You can feel it. And I'm not happy about it. I am not. You can write me at host@johngibson.com. Check me out on Twitter at Gibson Radio. Send me, or call the bitch box. Leave me a voicemail. I'll put it on the podcast at 859-544-2766. And I'm really curious if you can recognize this song and correctly identify it. Kind of hard, but you know, give it a shot, and I'll talk to you later on the podcast.